Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello, and welcome to Selective Hearing, a space for honesty, healing, and transformation. I'm Julie DeMar, author, filmmaker, and host of this podcast. We've all practiced selective hearing. This podcast is about more than just a conversation. It's about breaking barriers, fostering understanding, and stepping into the best versions of ourselves. So take a deep breath, open your heart, and join me. What does selective hearing mean to you? Hello, everyone, and happy Monday. It is another beautiful week, and I am here to give you another motivating message. And I have a special guest here to help me do that. So I am here with author, coach, and speaker, Jessica Summers, and we are going to set your Monday off right. So Jessica, thank you for being here with me.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
I'm so excited for this conversation. So what I like to do when I open the show is I give every guest the floor. So I want you to share, how did you get started on this journey?
That is one of those where to even start kind of questions. I will say never in a million years would I have thought that I would be doing this. In fact, if you would have told me, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I probably would have laughed at you because it wouldn't have made sense. But that's also why I am doing what I'm doing. So I was married with children. I was a fashion designer. I owned a boutique. And, you know, on the outside, like I had it all. I did. I felt that too. Like I was very grateful for everything that I had. I was, you know, loving my life. With the third trimester of my second pregnancy, that's when things kind of started to change. And, you know, I didn't do anything different. In fact, you know, I thought I was like a pro. I had one other child. I know what I'm doing, right? It was different. And like I say, I didn't do anything different, but I was in and out of my doctor's office. They were doing ultrasounds and they would check on my blood pressure, her heart rate, and fluids. So that kind of started becoming like my norm. And so on one of those appointments, they decide they were worried that I was going to have a stroke. So they said, we're taking you across the street. We're going to induce early. Yeah, because they were afraid I was going to have a stroke. So I had a labile blood pressure, which was, you know, go really high and come really low. So we go across the street. I mean, it still took forever. I had an epidural. It only took on one side of my body. I mentioned this because I always wondered, you know, like what even happens to us before we even come into this world? You know, it's like that third trimester was different. How come only one side took for the epidural? Like what was going on the other side? You know, when they delivered her, they had to resuscitate her. After going home, I would have to come back to emergency for my debilitating ab pains. And that right there was what I didn't see in that moment, but that was like the beginning of the end of my life as I knew it. Weeks turned into months, turned into years of one infection after another infection with antibiotics and pain pills and more antibiotics from an overgrowth of bacteria from too many antibiotics. And I would just get more and more and more. Now that I know about antibiotics, I see how much damage was just created in the very beginning there. Ruptured ovarian cysts, I had a hiatal hernia, and it was just all these things, one after another, postpartum, depression, and you don't see it when you're in it so much, but it's all retrospect where you're kind of questioning yourself, like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not doing anything different. Like, why do all these things keep happening? And that's like and why I talk about this too. Like, if we don't talk about things, it's very easy to slip into your own mind about your situation. And that is a scary place to be. because I started to get down on myself. You know, I see it now, how I started to pull myself down in the, you're always sick. You can't show up for your family. You can't even do this. You can't do that. You know, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. Fast forward to life is still happening. I'm getting diagnosed, misdiagnosed, medication reactions. I end up in a mental institution. 3 days out, I was misdiagnosed there too, along with the medications. I would end up 3 days out of a mental institution, I was given separation papers. So I would end up homeless and sick and with nothing. At first, I kept trying to do the work for everybody else, you know, for the my bad behavior. It's like that was kind of the obvious, you know, I was sick. I had gotten addicted to my doctor prescribed pain pills, then went to street drugs. So I'm a mess by this time, right? And those are the things that I kept trying to get help for, though, that behavior, the surface level, what I was being called out on. And that kept me stuck. And then I decided, like, I don't even know myself. I don't even know why am I behaving this way. And I didn't understand until I started doing the inside work, the job on myself, and really started to take a look at myself and the unhealed childhood trauma. So many things that I was completely unaware of. I had no idea I had abandonment issues. I mean, after I started doing the work, I realized like I did not have any self-worth, no self-confidence. The mixed messages I had heard growing up was, unless you're married with children, who are you? Do you really even matter? What? I had no idea that I even thought that way. So with all these kind of revelations, right, it was like the more work I did, the more healing I did, the more awareness I had about who I was, how I was showing up. You know, you hear these conversations or you hear people talking about like subconscious programming and old stories and our old belief systems. I didn't know anything about that stuff, you know, and if I heard anything about it, it kind of went in one ear and out the other because it just didn't make sense until it made sense. Mm-hmm. Right. And then that awareness kind of just blew up. And so that has led me here because how many women have I met on my journey and actually a lot that aren't even here anymore that haven't made it for one reason or another, but also they, just like myself, held on to what we needed to hold on to at maybe a time in our lives for survival to get us through. But that's the very thing that keeps us from going any further, from getting stuck. Like we hold on for dear life without even realizing that we're holding on to dear life to something that isn't helping us anymore. You know, mm-hmm. So that is, again, why I do what I do, because I hear it in conversations. I pick up on things where, I've been there. I know that. Oh, I hear that. That's exactly how I spoke to myself, right? I almost killed myself without even trying. It's not what I was trying to do, but I almost killed myself trying to hold on to who I thought I needed to be. And when I started to let go of those things, I actually started to step into who I am, who I've always been. But all those mixed messages, that story kept me stuck and holding on to what was actually the most painful thing. Did I answer the question?
Oh, you did. Oh, you opened up the floodgates and we're about to get into some things. Selective hearing being the name of this show is so perfect for the way my brain is set up. Because whenever I have a guest and you guys are talking, it's like ping, 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 ping. Like just rapid fire starts going off. I'm like, mm-hmm, that and that and that. Yeah. And then I have to kind of quickly cipher through the information so that I can, you know, effectively flow through this conversation. You said some things, and so I'm going to try not to ramble here. I'm going to go back to my experience of pregnancy, near death during my second pregnancy, and all the things. Same thing. My first pregnancy went a certain way. My second pregnancy went in a completely different direction, and we weren't prepared. But what else I wasn't prepared for was just life. So becoming a mom let me know that if anything was going to show me that I didn't know anything, it was going to be being responsible for life and not my own. And that was a scary realization. Yeah. It was a very hard place to be. And it was so confusing because I didn't know any better until I knew. So like you. And it was so what do we do with all of this stuff now? Because I also had what I talk about a lot on the show is this list of I'm not doing that when I have my kids. I'm not going to. I knew there was a lot of drama and trauma, but I didn't know that it was drama and trauma. All I knew is it hurt me, it harmed me, and I didn't want my kids to be subjected to that. But the big thing I didn't know too was, well, unless you learn something and actually work at something different, you are going to do those things.
Yeah.
So it started happening. And then the things that come along with that, the guilt, the shame, the blame, I'm a bad mom, the stories, like you say, I didn't even realize how much power I was giving my backseat driver.
Right.
And it was just a flood of overwhelming feelings and emotions, postpartum depression too. And it's what led me to creating this show. The show was a cry for help. It was a way to have a voice. It was a way to say, do you know what I can do? And somebody told me in the comments, like, hey girl, go get some therapy. And like, it happened. And now look what's happening. But I feel like it's so important to have these discussions because you also said, like, you, if you weren't a wife, where was your value? And I can't stand how women are trained to have a title, to have an identity in someone else to be considered valuable when we were born with the highest value. So it's like, I don't have to be a wife to be special. I don't have to be a mother to be special. I don't have to have a million degrees and letters behind my name and all these things to be special. I was born special. Yes. And if we were allowed to just be that way from the beginning, the things that we can accomplish and change in this world would be so beautiful. So right. I just, you know, you opened it. I'm sorry I had to just go there. But you, when you were talking, I was like, man. Because I know somebody's listening this morning that definitely has felt that way. There's somebody chirping in their ear with their own voice in their own head, telling them they're not good enough. They're not worthy enough. They made a mistake again.
Yep. And that right there, I've seen it. I watch it. And it was me that what we have been programmed to think about surface level behavior is the devil's trap. It's like yapping in your ear, hey stupid, you think you're gonna get out of this? You think you're any better? Who do you think you are? And I listened to that over and over and over. I wasn't trying, but I almost OD'd because I was gone. I was so lost in trying to figure out how I had gotten myself so sick and so unworthy. And so all these other things I kept telling myself, because I could no longer show up the way anybody expected me to. So it must be a me problem. What's wrong with you? Right. And that's exactly how we beat ourselves down to the point of no return. You know, I mean, for me, it seriously, divine intervention. I shouldn't have gotten up and walked out of that situation, but I did. And that was like the one little glimmer of hope. Like, okay, if I don't have to run and hide in guilt and shame from God, I'm cool, right? I can start working on myself. That was another thing, right? the God that I had learned about growing up, whoo, he was scary. You better do this or you're not worthy. So, I mean, until we start even recognizing where all that unworthiness talk comes from, we're picking it up. So how can we think any different until we start checking out, like, where do I come from? Where is my messaging coming from? Right? Because
Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for My Lowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
That's another thing, is that we look for the big obvious things that happen in our lives, but we don't even talk about like that, that insidious behavior and language and the stuff that just comes at us without even our awareness around it. Just growing up in this world about what you're supposed to look like, what color skin you're supposed to have, what neighborhood you're supposed to live in, how many degrees, we're, you know, on and on and on. Well, what if you don't fit any all that? Does that mean that you don't belong here? How many of us have felt like that, you know, for one reason or another? I know, because of my experience, I know what it's like to feel not loved, unwanted. If nobody else does, how are you supposed to do that for yourself? And that's the trick. Have these conversations to go, ooh, girl, you don't even know. You are so amazing. And once you start loving you for all the good, the bad, the ugly, and all those crap stories, and you start realizing how far you've come and what you've been through and how much further you can go, and we allow people to start doing that for themselves, like believing in themselves when nobody else has, makes me emotional. Ooh. Makes me so emotional.
There is, right before we got on today, so I have an entire process that I go through before I record. Mm-hmm. So I can get in the zone, because I've shared on the show that my negative narrator likes to show up before I record to talk me out of it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I'm going to switch up how I get ready before each show. It's not just going to be, you know, I make sure my hair doesn't look wild, so y'all don't not talking to me when I wake up looking crazy in my little makeup and stuff. It's beyond that. I move past, in the morning, you know, my positive affirmations and the things I declare over my life and all that. I move past that. And now I'll put on some chill music. I'll talk to myself. I'll say a prayer. You know, I do all the things. But this morning afterwards, I made a little video for social media. And I said, I was going through my process before recording today, and a song came on called Grateful. And as I was listening to that song and I was reflecting, I started sharing about how gratitude practices have been one of the most effective and powerful tools that I've learned on this journey. Mm-hmm. And it's because even the negative experiences that I've had, I shifted the narrative by being grateful for them. Doesn't say that they didn't hurt. Doesn't say that I would rather do without, but what's done is done. So I'm grateful for them, because had I not experienced those things, I might not be sitting here talking to you today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had I not experienced those things, the wisdom that has been imparted on me wouldn't be there.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be able to grab that young girl, or even that young woman, or grab my sister of my age or beyond and say, come back here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is not true.
Yeah.
You are beautiful. You are worthy. You are strong. You are powerful. You are able and capable. And that is a lie. I wouldn't be able to do that had I not been drugged through the mud.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to see somebody else trekking through it and say, come here, girl, let's clean those boots off.
Yeah.
So it's important to grab onto even something that little and be like, hey, I'm grateful that I'm alive today. And with this life, I'm going to do something.
Yep.
It can start right there. So I'm going to get into you, because your story is one of resilience and transformation. And I want you to take us back to that moment, because we all have it, that moment where everything changed for you.
There's actually, there's been a couple. Yeah, this has been a long haul. I will say, back to that, when I almost OD'd, I had been trying to reach out. I'm telling my family and my now ex-husband, like, something is wrong. Like, I don't understand, like, how I'm feeling. Like, I feel like I'm taking too much medication, and I have like a reaction from. I don't even know which one is which. Just because there's a potential of a side effect doesn't mean you're going to have, like, it was always like, nobody was hearing me. It was always like a response to whatever I had to say. So the more I'm getting, like, feeling like I'm hitting the wall, the further down I go, the more I start doing, I don't even want to say bad behaviors, the behaviors to function, because I don't know any other way. But that's also what's dragging me down even more, because I'm telling my story. It's like, well, if you want to get better and you're asking for help, then why the hell are you doing this? Right? So that brings me, because I've never been addicted. Yeah, I used to party like a rock star. A choice, no matter good, bad, right, or wrong, a choice is a choice. Addiction is an ugly monster. However, that was one of the stories and a seed that had been planted in my head, like, you do drugs, this is who you are. So here I am spinning with that story in my head. I'm asking for help, can't get anywhere. I'm alone. If I try to get off drugs, I'm right back in the same place with my stomach issues. I don't know what to do anymore. That's it. So I'm sitting there and I am bawling my eyes out. And I had my routine of, this is how much I use morning, noon, and night. And then for the next day, I had my routine. This time I did it all without even paying attention. Simultaneously, I said, God, why would you want me to suffer so bad? And who makes me, I felt and I heard him, and he said, I don't. And I got up and I walked out. That should have killed me. If at the very minimum knocked me out, and I got up and I walked out and I said, okay, you got a plan. I don't know how we're doing this. I don't know what's going on, but if you've got my back, I'm not going to let you down, because I know that you just saved me. And that was the beginning of, I have no clue how I'm going to do this, but I'm just going to take one step, one foot in front of the other, like one baby step after another, And with that, I started listening. That was the, the initial almost permission that I needed to show me that I was worthy of doing the work. I didn't even know that I didn't know that I didn't think I was worthy enough. I had given and shown up for so long for filling the roles that all of a sudden I was in a position where it's like, this is all on you, for you. What? I got to worry about myself? Do I even want to? Do I even matter? That is like what a wake up call that was. That you're just shuffling along through life like, I don't matter. I'm going to show up for everybody else but me. But after that experience, it's okay to start healing, start to figure out like who you are. And the more I started doing that, the more I was like you were saying too, was like, I was grateful for these experiences, because the more I did, the more I could see, if I do this and I get through it, how many more other people can I show that you don't have to stay there? You don't have to be doing the things that you do just to get by, just to survive, mm-hmm. And the more I started believing that, the more work I started doing, the more I started to write. Like, before I even knew what thought dumping was, I was being shown, like, dump it out, get rid of it. That was part of my awareness. The more I wrote it down, the more I said, wait a minute. Look at that story you keep writing down. That doesn't even make any sense. Then I started realizing that, oh yeah, I was asking for help. Oh yeah, I was telling the truth the entire time. I started seeing how other people had shown up or weren't showing up. Not that I'm blaming, we all have our own individual reasons on why we do the things that we do until we're aware of why we do the things that we do. Because of other people's behavior and because of my lack of self-worth, I listened and it wasn't true. None of it was true. So the more you get the awareness around that, aren't you going to push a little bit more? Well, hell yes.
Yeah.
And I started taking that, the negative talk in what I had written down, and I flipped them around to my positive affirmations, and I had them stuck all over. It was a big closet doors. So right where, you know, where I was laying, you know, if I was laying on my side, that was the first thing I saw in the morning and the last thing when I went to bed. And I started to feed myself that, and I fed it to myself until I started to believe it. The more I started to believe it, the more I became aware of, oh, well, the only reason I believed all these ugly stories about myself to begin with is because life and experiences, they aren't true. So actually, if I keep going, I'm kind of limitless, right?
Yeah.
Because we all are. And that is a revelation. I wish that for every human being to realize how super incredible and powerful they are, because our love and our light is so much more than any of that darkness that we've ever experienced. I mean, think about that, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, if I've done this and I've seen that and this happened and I saw that, but I'm more than that. Woo wee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am bigger than any lie that anyone has ever told me. And most importantly, I am bigger than any lie that I ever told myself. And that is exactly what it is. Because the voices of everybody else, oh, you're bad. You're not good enough. What are you at? You did that again. Stop. Nah. All of it. Like, it literally becomes your own voice. And yeah, you're just, it's on repeat. It's a horrible song on repeat until you just decide to press that stop button and throw out the tape. Like, no, actually, I'm wonderfully made and you can't tell me anything different. Yep. And if that bothers you, I would recommend that you press into that and ask yourself, why is that bothering me?
Yeah.
And you change that story within yourself, because you're not going to stop me. I always say, I'm not going back. Like, there's no going back. So you're not going to be able to stop this. But what I will do is, if you ever come up against me negative, is I will do everything in my power to help you stop you. I will ask you, like, why do you feel that way? And press into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And change your narrative. Oh, my. See? Oh, Jessica, I didn't know we were going there today, but we going. So.
So, well, you, like you were saying, though, too, it's like, the more we talk about this and share this, you know, that somebody's going to be on here and go, oh, okay. So if they did it, maybe I can do it too. Oh, it makes me so emotional. Whew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm coming off of 4 days. So my week last week, today's Friday. So last Thursday was day one of a women's conference that I attended. And I sold my book at the end of the conference each day. So it was Thursday through Sunday. And when I tell you, my book is about self-talk. So I didn't know that when I got to the conference that the entire, like, structure of the conference was going to be about different aspects of your negative narrator. So I just felt like I was in the space that I was supposed to be in, not only to have the honor of being able to be amongst such powerful, beautiful, strong, confident women, but to be able to be one of those myself. Because going in, I was like, oh my gosh, I did it going in, like, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to sell my book here? Look at these women, look at their experience, look at their confidence. I'm not there yet. And then I was like, wait a minute. By day two, I walked through that door like, wait a minute. You are just as capable. You are just as strong. You are just as powerful. You wouldn't be willing to be here and hear them and share with them and love on them and hug them and experience them if you weren't in that space. And then after that, I never cried so much. I never smiled so much. I never rejoiced so much. I never, all the things, because I was like, you have to let that go. Let that go. And it'll creep up on you. But when it does, it's when you got to be like, lies, stop. No, you are. If you weren't, you wouldn't be standing here today. And keep standing And I think that that is like a beautiful thing to say to everybody listening that feels that, like, keep standing.
Yeah.
Keep putting one foot ahead of the other and keep going. That's all you can do. And I'm telling you, then one day you'll look back and you'll be like, what? All of that happened? But look where I am, you know?
Yeah.
And look where I'm going. So I have to ask you, because you've experienced some stuff, like a lot of adversity. You've experienced loss. You struggle with addiction. You struggle with illness. You struggle with homelessness. Those things, you know, they change us, they shape us. But you, in those changes and in that remolding, you said, this is not negative. So how do you become a speaker and a coach and an author?
Well, for me, and this has also been, you know, a journey in itself. And something that I had to learn, because in the very beginning, I had come through so much that I still felt like I had to prove myself to God now. Like, I see you've helped me. What do you want me to do? And I wrote a book too, and I kind of joke in it that there was a while, and I laugh about it now, that I said, all right, God, I don't know what you want from me, but if you want me to become a nun, like, nobody's going to believe me and it's going to be a joke, but if that's what you want, you think that that's a good plan. And I laugh my ass off about that now, because that was another thing that I had to learn. God wasn't trying to say, this is who you got to be. He's saying, wake up, girl, be who you are, right? Just show up. So showing up was, what am I good at? What do I like to do? How can I share my experience with what I know how to do, you know? So that was just getting up, like, and figuring it out. You know, I started, very beginning was volunteering as a speaker and going to high schools and sharing my story, and then, you know, then to universities. And then I just did a keynote in Paris, France. Everybody always says France. on International Women's Day, you know, and it just, once you find your groove and you just start going and you believe, the path is laid out in front of you. You just got it, because, and that's the thing, as soon as you start shutting up the voice that told you you couldn't, you start to listen to the voice that has and shows you the way to go, because it's no more that hustle, you know. And that's what we've learned. We've all learned, like, unless you're hustling and you wear all the hats and you show up for everybody and you run off fumes,
yeah,
what kind of crap, you know? It's no wonder we're all burned out and struggling with mental health issues, and we've learned exactly the way to get us there. So that's actually a huge message right there, is stop beating yourself up. If you find yourself in a position that you don't like, you've learned how to get there. You've done exactly what you've been taught how to do. So get off your own back.
that hamster wheel. Just keep spinning, just keep spinning. Denzel Washington said, be careful when we talk about movement, because you can, he said, movement doesn't always mean progress. And he was like, because you can run in place. I might have just butchered it. He said it a lot more poetic than that, but everyone understands what I'm saying, is you can be moving and moving and moving and moving and moving and going nowhere. That's why we have treadmills and hamster wheels, nowhere, just running in place, but exhausting yourself and then wondering, what is happening with my life? Why is this still here? And I see too, like, so many, I have like beautiful friends who are so successful on paper and like so empty inside. And I was that beautiful friend. Okay. Your girl was in movies. Your girl had a six pack. She had a Halle Berry haircut. You know, like, I was doing the things, like the parties, the everything, the famous friends, and nowhere, empty, beautiful monster, you know, like just mean, hurt, vengeful, violent, you know, all the things.
Yeah.
For what? And now, like, stepping into this, I've noticed that the other day I said to my friend, I was like, I feel like a giddy little kid all the time, like a goofy, giddy little kid, like the little girl that I never got to be. I'm just walking around the world her now, like, and I'm okay with it. Like, just goofy, quirky, happy, you know, like,
yes.
Yeah. And it feels good.
That's just the thing. Once we start healing the immature child we are, then we get to come out into this world as a, like, with like a childlike wonderment. You know, it's like, I'm intentionally behaving this way because I can, not because I'm like some snot-nosed little punk, you know, that I used to be, you know. But, and that goes for all of us. It's like the world, I mean, if you think about it, the world teaches us how to be snot-nosed little punks. I matter more than you. I will bulldoze you to get that position. I mean, so many ugly things. So I hear you on that. I mean, I love, and I, one of the most things that I'm so grateful for, the relationship that I get to have with my daughters now, and that I get to behave like a kid right alongside them. That's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing.
I'm going to say something here because I keep looking at this and I'm like, yeah, we're going to talk about this. So you mentioned, and I want to quote this properly, we are not supposed to be turning off someone else's light. So I want to know how, because we're speaking about intention now. So how does that philosophy guide how you now show up in the world, how you're interacting with everyone around you?
Basically, the way I see it, it's like, how dare any of us think that we matter more than somebody else? I catch myself, if I have a trigger or a reaction, I check myself, like, hold up a minute. Like, where's that coming from? Is that old crap? Right? Instead of us going to the automatic of like picking on people for what they might be doing wrong, it is 10 times more powerful to pick that one little thing that they're doing right and take them to the moon with that. If we could all like do that, because what we are doing is nitpicking ourselves and each other to the point of like extinction. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person that said the one thing too many that pushed somebody over the edge. We've learned how to be so like ugly and judgmental and critical and, you know, mm-hmm. when we're actually so much more powerful in loving each other. So our first thing that we need to learn is, if you can't give love, how are you showing up for yourself? Right? That's the biggest one. I had to learn that. I had to learn how to love myself first because I didn't know that I didn't. How do you give love if you can't love yourself? You don't. You run on empty and you just give in whatever way you think you need to. So you hold on so you don't lose it, because that your self-worth is so wrapped up in that. And that, I mean, that was my concept, mm-hmm. you know? So we're not meant to tear each other down. I'm more so now than ever. It's like, I double dog dare you to go to someone in a loving, kind, respectful manner. Be that one conversation. Whew,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Be that hug, be that smile. It goes a long way.
Yeah. Don't wait. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You be that, because we'll all be waiting.
Yeah, we will. If you guys ever see me on the street, I am a hugger. So I will ask you, can I give you a hug? Can I have a hug? I like hugs, and I like to bring it in, hug me in the front, wrap your arms around me tight, squeeze me. Kind of hugs. And yeah. I have been hugging nonstop lately. I feel like I've been giving out a lot more hugs. I've been receiving some really good hugs too, that have carried me through some days. But I am, if you need a hug, I'm a hugger. And I'm definitely a hi. And I'm definitely a good joke. Just because I know what it feels like.
Yep.
And that's my way of intentionally showing up every day. And if I'm having a bad day, if it's one of them days where I'm real funky and I'm battling with myself, I am more reserved on those days now. Mm. I still, you know, I'm not rude to people. I don't mistreat people, but I know I will also draw back though. I won't put that on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
While I'm sorting it out. And I think people need to do that. Just press into that and be aware of that and be in those moments like, hey, you know, we have bad days. Today's not a good day for me, but I'm not going to make my situation yours. And we're really quick to do that sometimes.
Right. That's such a big thing too, because when I think about like what you just said, that's something that I had to learn too. Like, it's okay for me to step back and take care of me first so I can show up for myself and then show up for you as well. Mm-hmm. Because the other way around was, I will show up for you no matter how I feel, as long as I can show up for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when you have nothing left, it is a rude awakening. Like when you're like, wait, I just gave every last bit of myself. Hello? Hello? You know?
Yeah. And the resentment that comes with that is for episode two, everybody, because some nasty things come along with that once you pour your whole cup out and you look around and nobody's there. The stories that will play out on your head after that produce real ugly fruit, I'm telling you. And well, that's part two, everybody, because me and Jessica, listen, I think we just became besties if you didn't notice. So
I love it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So selective hearing, I'm quoting you again. This is some good stuff. You said that selective hearing can keep us stuck in patterns. So I would like to hear how you think we can challenge ourselves to truly listen and understand rather than judge or twist conversations to fit that story, our narrative that's playing out.
And that's a tricky one, because it's the awareness that you're doing it. You know, you have to first recognize in yourself that you're doing it, or just even, okay, at first, you have to tell yourself, this is how I'm showing up until I have the awareness of how am I really showing up. If you just react, you're reacting off what you think before you even hear or listen to what somebody is saying. You have to challenge that if you really want to show up for somebody else. You can't hear them if you got it all figured out before they're even done saying what they had to say. You know? So we have to, and this is something that I work on all the time. Like I was saying earlier, like if I catch myself like an automatic, like a judgment or an automatic response before I give myself time to even think about what was said, I stop myself and go, where are you going? Did you even hear what was being said? Why are you showing up? This isn't about you. So why did you just, like, you know, have a hot flash? Why did you just, you know, why did you just respond that way? Because as soon as you recognize that, you go, oh, okay, listen. What is that person saying? It has nothing to do with you. Our program is making us show up in how we think we need to show up. We've been programmed that way. We've been programmed to be selfish until we realize, like, this is how I'm showing up. You know, it's like, how can you give somebody an answer to something that you didn't even take the time to actually listen? So you're giving them the solution to a question that you didn't even listen to?
Yeah.
You know, just because you think you know what they're going to say,
mm-hmm.
that's coming from you and what you think.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I sure do. I sure do. I said it like a few episodes ago. I'm going to butcher my own quote, everybody. Here we go. I was speaking to, once I learned that my perception of things is not actually reality. Mm. That's not what's happening in this moment.
Yeah.
Then that's when I was truly able to effectively hear and see what was going on and respond in the correct way. But that does take, like we've been speaking about, time. We don't give ourselves time. Everything is boom, 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 boom. You know, like even that rapid fire I was talking about in the beginning of the show, my mind went 35 million different ways in your opening. Mm. But I slowed it down so that I can pull from the things that I heard you say, so this conversation can flow in the way that it did. We don't stop and really let things marinate, so that we can discern what these things really are. We don't. We just got to go. Listening to respond. I know this. I got it figured out. Ding, ding, ding. Let me put it on you. No. We need to stop, slow down, listen, hear, be willing to like remove our ego. This person yes. may actually have something for us that we need. Get out of our own way. I am the most, oh my gosh, when I'm in situations around people that I know more than me, I am the most like, yes. ooh, let me take this in because I want to know. I want to learn. I want to grow. I didn't know for so long.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go back there, but the only way not to is to be open to, and even if I don't agree with all of it, at least I gave it a chance, you know?
Right. I mean, in that itself, like, even though if you don't agree with it, check out why you don't agree with it. Like, where is that coming from? Is that even yours? Right. Because we learn a lot about ourselves. I mean, okay. There is this story, and I used to tell it all the time. And this is a perfect example of like, we don't even know why we like hold on to even like the most angriest scar stuff. We don't even know where that comes from sometimes. So there's this guy. He's a jazz musician. He's from Mississippi. I can't remember his name. I need to go back and figure this out. Anyway, he is playing at a club. There's these two white guys that are like, you know, getting down, like totally, like just totally into his playing. Afterwards, he comes up to them and he says, you know, I see that you enjoyed me playing. And the guys are like, yeah, I didn't even know that black people could play white music like that. And he said, excuse me, you know,
right.
So why don't we have a seat and talk? And, you know, so basically let me school you on music. So in this conversation, one of the guys go, you know, he can't believe that not only is he sitting at this table, but he's listening and being educated by a black guy, because he whips out his wallet and he's like some head guy, I don't know what to call him, grand poobah of the KKK. And he says, basically, they befriended each other. This started this whole movement where he would meet these guys like in different like positions in some kind of whatever white supremacist groups, KKK, and I don't know who else, but where he introduced himself and he got like, I might be exaggerating, but I want to say like 30,000 robes for people that gave it up, said, I didn't even know why I hated black people. Now that I know and hear you, like, why did I hate you? How many of us, in for one reason or another, are so adamant about how we feel that we don't even know why we feel that way or where it even comes from? Mm-hmm. That is a perfect example of like, as soon as you acknowledge that, you go, wait a minute, I've been carrying around actually that burden, because yeah, hate is a huge ass burden to be carrying around. And you don't even know why you've been carrying it around. Think about how huge and expansive that is. Just the recognition of, how do I even think the way I think? Where did that thought even come from? Why do I feel this way? Oh, what? Just because I heard it when I was 5 years old and I have held on to that for dear life because I thought I needed it. Mm-hmm. And I've carried it all through life. How many of us have some kind of, I know what I know, and that's exactly what's holding us down?
I know what I know. This is just my personality. It's just me. You know how I am. Oh, let that go. It's holding you back from greatness.
Yes.
It's holding yes. you back.
Yes. You just said it right there. You said it all right there.
So a couple things before we go, because I'm going through all the beautiful things in your life. A mother, you've accomplished so many things on a professional level. You've been a fashion designer. You've authored, you've spoken, you're motivating right now as we create this episode. So I'm going to ask you about how all of these wonderful things, your struggles, your accomplishments, your love, your life, how this all works for you and your purpose.
Well, that's just it, is how many of us yell at the news. We're totally aware. It's like there's so much awareness about all of the ugly things that are going on in this world, but what are we doing about it? right? We really do have a choice, big, small, whatever. It's either you're part of the problem or part of the solution. So that fuels me to go as far as I can go with this, because never in a million years would I have even imagined any of this. So if I was in a place where I couldn't even imagine it, who am I? I'm anybody, I'm nobody, I'm somebody just like everybody else. Why don't I try to be a change maker? Why don't I try to take this as far as I can take it and go to show other people that yes, you, yes, you, yes, all of us. Mm-hmm. Stop combating things the way you've always combated it, because it's never going to change that way. It changes here first. Until we all start showing up differently, that's where the change happens. That's how we change the world. One individual at a time that decides to do the healing journey to come full circle to back who you've always been created to be. And to stand up in that power. Like, and the harder you've been knocked down, the longer, the more that you have to give to others. So instead of being held back and playing small, let's keep it going. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no ceiling. Didn't you write that someplace?
Who, me?
I swear, yeah, I swore that you had something about like breaking ceiling, or there is no ceiling. I swore I read that someplace.
I might have. It might be on a blog or on one of my social medias. I write so many different things in so many different moments. And if I didn't, I will. Because
that's it. It's like, we are the only reason that we hit a wall. We are the only reason that we hit that ceiling. If we hit a wall, if we hit that ceiling, heal the reason that why we're stuck there and get rid of it and go to the next level and the next one and the next one. The awareness around how you're showing up is the biggest gift we have. Once we recognize like what we have and let go of what we don't have, that is the seed that we plant into anything and everything. When I think back at like the ugliest situations, but I jumped on to that itty bitty little possibility, that's what I rode. And kept growing on, because I didn't look at the big gigantic monster that I didn't, you know, like, ah, because every time I looked at that, I went, ooh, I'm going to hide. I'm going to shrink. I'm not showing up. But it's that little thing, that little bit, those baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You just keep going. So yes. I'm just going to keep going. You know, I mean, there was a time I could not even consider creating a Facebook account. There was no way I could show my face. You think I'm going to do a podcast? You think I'm going to do any of this? You know, and I just little baby steps. I mean, can you imagine? When I wrote my book, it was from bed. I was shaking. There were so many things that I did shaking until I stopped shaking. You know, you just don't wake up one day and be like, I'm good, I'm cool, let's go.
Right. <You know? laughs> Right. Oh my gosh. And that is, I feel like, the most beautiful place to close the show is just keep going.
Yeah.
But before we go, I need you to tell all the listeners how they can connect with you, how they can buy your book, and if they have any questions, how they can reach out to, you know, chat with you.
Perfect. Beautiful. So I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook, and my website has like a little thing, you know, a little message thing. You can reach out there. It's www.jessica-summers.com. And I can't remember now, and this is terrible, like if it's on my LinkedIn or on my Facebook. I have to make sure that it's there, but you know, I have free stuff, you know. And if you don't find it on one place, just reach out to me and I'll get it to you, you know, something to change the patterns. You don't have to do it all. You don't have to figure it all out. Just make that one little shift in your normal routine. Mm. You know, a reaching out to somebody is a shift in your routine. Mm-hmm. That's that baby step. That is that baby step to wherever you want to go.
Yes. Yes. And listen, because here I go. So Jessica, I do a thing called no excuses at the end of the show, because that is something else. We will tell ourselves something and believe it. And what I want people to understand is it's an excuse. Now I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll look into it later. No, the moment is now. There's no excuses. So Jessica just told you, hit that drop down button into the show details. It's in the show details. And this information can also be found at selectivehearingshow.com on the resources page. So listen, get over there, click those buttons, get in touch with Jessica, and start putting one foot in front of the other. So thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you so much. This was beautiful. And I can't wait to be back again.
Oh, I'm definitely bringing you back.
Part two
coming soon. And everyone else, have a beautiful week. And until next time, this is Selective Hearing.